going to be talking about sex. And as we venture into this, and I really thought about it, it's a two-part series. We have this week, which sets up sexuality, immorality, and purity. And then next week, we're going to look at it in absolute context of God's design. And so we're looking at it in God's design today, but kind of in a negative aspect, if you will. In other words, we're going to look at it of what God says about it, but how the world looks at it. And then next week, we're going to look at it at how God says it and how it should be, and really show it in marriage context. Today, we're just talking about sex in general. Okay, as I thought about this and went, man, I got to tiptoe around this because I have kids in here. But here's the truth of the matter. Any of you, if you go onto YouTube, how many know how to get on YouTube? Amen. Go on YouTube. If you don't know how to go on YouTube, you know where you put the address bar, where the URL is, if you will, not E-A-R-L, but U-R-L, where it's the http/, is that forward or backslash? It goes this way. Is that backslash? Okay. Either way, you guys get it. The //, and then the www dot, right? Okay, where all that information goes, go youtube.com. When you get to youtube.com, what I want you to do is I want you to type in subliminal messages from SpongeBob, Bugs Bunny. What is that? I can't think of the name. It's a movie. The prince on the carpet, the flies on the carpet. Oh my goodness, that is horrible. So if you think your kids don't know what's going on, do not kid yourself. Okay? Don't kid yourself. The world is teaching them everything, and parents are acting like, well, they don't know yet. They don't know yet. Don't kid yourself. So today in church, they're going to know, but they're going to know from God's view. They're going to know from truth. Parents, you're going to know too. Singles, you're going to know. Those that are active are going to know. Those who are thinking about being active are going to know. Those who are married, or I don't care who you are today, you're going to know what God's word says about sexuality, immorality, and purity. I think too many people dodge the bullet, or they make they blow the topic up and then don't cover it. You know, in other words, they go, oh, we're going to talk about this. So everybody comes, and then they don't get to the meat of it because they don't want to offend anybody. Anybody that knows me knows my goal is not to offend you. But if I do, and it's with truth, okay, it's for you to deal with. So as we look at this, understand that this week, and since I was supposed to end it this week, it's not going to happen. Next week is the prophecy conference. You definitely don't want to miss that. Bring a friend, and we're going to look at current events and the Bible and how they go together. And then the following week, we were supposed to start Stewardship Month, but I'm actually going to finish up Real Marriage Series the following week, the first week of November on sex again. So you get a week reprieve, and then we're back at it, finish it, and then we'll start our new series. I just really felt that I couldn't get all this covered in one sermon unless you guys are willing to sit here for 2 hours. How many are willing to sit here for 2 hours? Amen. So I'd have half and lose half. All right. So that's why I figured I'll break it up and give you another reason to come back. All right. So first off, God's plan for sex, right up front, one man, one woman, united in marriage. That's God's plan. One man, one woman, united in marriage. Can't be any other way. If it's any other way, it's fornicating. Fornicating is wrong. It's a sin. It's a sin, and listen, some go, well, I love this person, and we're going to get married. Fantastic, it's still fornicating. It doesn't matter if you're not married, it's wrong. And it should be between one man, one woman. I don't care what society says. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what the president says. I don't care what Congress says. I don't care what the Senate says. I don't care what the public says. I care what God says. And as one man, one woman in marriage, that's the only time you have sex. Amen. Period. Let's pray. No, I'm kidding. You know, sometimes you go, okay, do we go on? Check this out. More than $1 billion this year is going to be spent on sex education. More than $1 billion this year will be spent on sex education. And do you know what they teach? Safer sex. Not abstinence. Safer. You know what they do? They hand out condoms. They hand out all this stuff. Oh, the laws are passed, so 11-year-olds now can go to the counter and get pills, the morning after pill, so that 11-year-olds. What you're saying is you have permission. And our society teaches this. You know, the world's vision of safe sex, their theme is, since you can't be good, be careful. Since you can't be good, be careful. No, God says be good. And parents, you should be saying be good. And some of these parents have already got it in their head that, oh, well, you know, there's nothing I can do about it because when they're away from the house, I can't watch them. You know what? Cut the relationship. If your child is 15, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, living in the house, hey, and you go, well, I can't do it at 18. But I'm going to tell you, you can sure do it at 14, 15, 16. Cut the relationship. Don't support it. If you know your child's having sex and you know it's out of wedlock and you know this unhealthy relationship, stop the relationship. And you say, well, they'll just rebel. Well, then you know what? Take a swift boot and polish it. And you don't even have to bend over to do it. Just. The problem is why is it that parents aren't being parents today? Even in the Christian household, parents aren't being parents. They go with the world. Well, what can I do? Man, even the world has got you convinced you can't be godly in your house or keep your children godly. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'll go to jail for my children. Protecting them or punishing them. I'm not going to abuse them, but I'll sure enough fire that tail up. They go, well, I'm 16. Matter of fact, my daughter, Taylor, is turning 16 tomorrow. She's not above a spanking. Not above it at all. I will regain some respect with that hiney. That's just what it is. They're going, oh, Dad's embarrassing me again. I'm just telling you right up front, man, I'm going to protect my girls. We're not going to take this attitude, since you can't be good, be careful. Forget that. Be good. There's a cost. Man, I remember when I would go to school and I wasn't good and I got a spanking in school. How many remember when you got it in school, right? Man, I'm going to tell you what, I hated going home, because if I got it in school, as soon as I got through the door, man, I got it again. I'm like, dog, man, there should be something against the law for getting punished twice for the same crime. God's version of safe sex is abstinence until marriage. 1 Peter 2:11 says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. That's fornication. Sexual immorality. That's what he's talking about. Abstain from it. Do not participate in it. Bill Clinton started this, and I'm just going to be quite frank up here this morning, and I'm really, my goal is not to offend, but let's just look at what things really are. Bill Clinton started it by saying, what's the definition of is? And students got the idea that as long as you were not going to that limit, if you will, or that extreme, that then all other activity was okay. And I'm going to tell you, that's a lie. But the world fell into it, and students fell into it. And if you ask them if they're having sex, they'll tell you, no, we're not having intercourse? Are you physical? Well, you know, all that other stuff really isn't sex. Really? We've convinced our society, our children, that what they're doing isn't wrong. And then we convince them there's nothing we can do about it. And the parents step back and the children go on. And I'm going to tell you, as we're going to look and we're going to find out through these passages, that you are setting your child up for absolute destruction. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, I'm telling you, you are setting your child up. And as an adult, you are setting yourself up to go through the same struggles and trials if you are having sex outside of marriage. It will work on you. It will work on you psychologically, spiritually. Listen, you're not going to walk closer to God when you're pursuing your lust. As a matter of fact, you're not even going to know God exists because you're too busy pursuing your lust. And then you wonder why it poisons the church and poisons the family, poisons the home, poisons the workplace and the school. Man, the Christians, I'm beside myself with Christians today. And how they watch the same TV shows that the world watches and thinks it's okay. They watch the same movies, the rated R movies, and thinks it's okay. And I'm going to tell you, all that is polluting and poisoning your mind. And listen, this isn't just some preacher up here preaching against movies and all that, because I think movies are great. I just think you need to pick the right ones. I think that TV shows are great. You just got to pick the right ones. And if they're, what I'm finding in shows is, first off, these kids' shows, they never have parents in them. They don't have any parents in them. The kids run everything. There's no boundaries, no discipline, there's no parents. And it's giving kids the idea that they don't need parents, that they can just run the world. And I'm going to tell you, they can't. But these TV shows give you the idea. What about Friends? You know, all Friends was a bunch of adults that were rooming together, having sex out of wedlock, and it was glorified. Top-rated show. There you go. Christians just as much as the world watching it. Or the TV show Office. Now, I've never seen Office, but I've heard of it. It's just glorified. And you know what? I follow pastors on Twitter, and some follow me, and we have this summit list that all of us can go on. And sometimes I'm just shocked that at the time, I don't even know if the Office, I think that's what it's called, the Office. I don't even know if it's still on the air, but I'm watching them post what a great episode it was. And so then I'd go and watch it because I got a pastor posting what a great episode it was. And I went and I watched it and I'm going, really? It blows me away. Man, I got to get going. I'm never going to get going if I don't get going. What about advertising? Sex is the number one seller of everything. I don't care what it is. Right down to gum, paint, car insurance, everything is about sex, 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 sex. Why? Because that's what sells. I was on the internet this morning looking at Fox News, and on one of the blocks on the side it said new law in Rensselaer. And I thought, wow, okay. So I when I highlighted it, it popped up, and there was this cop car and a cop standing beside it, and then this lady who was very scantily dressed, and then I looked at the bottom and it said advertisement. I don't know what they were trying to get me to look at because I never opened it, but as soon as I seen the picture, I looked down immediately, and I looked down right underneath the picture, it said advertisement. I knew they were up to no good. I wasn't going to click on it to find out what no good it was, but I was amazed how now everything is sex. And what do? Man, we buy into it if we're not careful. And it doesn't matter what it is. In the 60s, Hugh Hefner said, sex is a normal function of the body. It is a desire that man shares with the animals, just like sleeping or eating. Therefore, it is not wrong to satisfy these normal desires. He equated it with being like the animals. And you know, the worst part is society fell for it. And then we came up with this new slogan, if it feels good, do it. They fell for it. Josh McDowell was one of Christianity's foremost experts on teenagers. And I want you to check out his research that showed in evangelical church circles. 65, now this is in church circles. 65% of teens have had some kind of sexual experience before the age of 18. 43% say they have actually gone all the way. He asked them where they learned their values in this area. 73% said from the movies. That was 10 years ago. It's worse than today. Here's what I found really interesting as I was going online researching, trying to find data to get accurate numbers. It says there were several sites that said in 91 that that the problem with teens having sex was far greater, and it has reduced almost by 60% today. I think they got the numbers backwards. Because we're seeing a growing trend. 400,000 babies are being aborted every year by females from the age of 15 to 18. 400,000 babies every year being aborted between the ages of 15 and 18. That right there should just break us. Here's some good news. 35% who had no experience, the vast majority said the reason was because of a commitment they have made to God. 35% in the church said that they have done nothing because of the commitment they made to God. Who's teaching morality today? If the church isn't, I'm telling you, the kids, whether they're in church or out on in the world, it doesn't matter because they're the same today if you're not careful. And I think we really need to focus on our children. But if the parents aren't paying attention and the parents aren't doing what's right, how do you expect the child to do what's right? They're going to do what they see, not what they hear. How many of you went, well, if they're doing it, I can do it? Yeah? Oh, I'm the only one. Okay. But that's what we do. We're like, oh, hey, tell me no, but look at them. They're doing it. We don't believe the word no. And that's what society is today. So I'm just thankful for those who have made a pledge to stay pure until they're married. God bless you, and may God continue to strengthen you through it. And by the way, we have some adults that make that decision too. With permission, I can share this. How many remember Dom and Susan Hendrickson? They were here, and then they moved off to Plattsburgh. They came a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever it's been now, and probably 2 years ago, because they've been married a year, so it had been 2 years ago, that they came to the marriage series. And I was preaching on abstinence and how God didn't appreciate it, he didn't like it. And so here's what they did. Well, they were already living together, and they had been living together for 4 or 5 years. And then after the sermon, after God's word had pierced their heart, they made a commitment. And listen, they're in their 50s and have been living together for 5 years. And they made a commitment that they will no longer have any sexual activity between the two of them until they were married. Even living together, they separated the bedrooms. They did what was right. Man, when God's word gets in your heart and your desire is to serve God and love God more than your flesh, you'll do what's right. And so it doesn't matter if you're a teen or if you're an adult. Listen, it matters what decision you make. And man, you can make a decision to be pure. And by the way, your decision will be completely based upon your relationship with God. Completely based upon, listen, if you don't love God, you're going to love yourself a whole lot more. If you don't love God, you're not going to listen to God. If there's no respect there, you're not going to take action to do what His Word says. You're going to do what your body wants to do. And so what's happened is, by the way, there's a senator in Washington, and this is what he said: today's teens are just hormone hurricanes, and you can't stop a hurricane. That's their mentality in the government. Can't stop it. So you know what we're going to do? If you can't be good, then just be careful. And that was our government's mentality. Well, I'm telling you, I'm glad God is greater than a hurricane. And man, he can grab hold of your heart and he can adjust it. And if he doesn't, man, he needs to grab hold of your butt and adjust that. Amen? Adult or child, it doesn't matter, man. It needs to stop, the insanity, because we are literally destroying ourselves and destroying our families by the one simple thing of sex outside of marriage. Just destroying our society. A pastor friend said this: society is learning that there is a penalty for sexual immorality, but rather than coming back to God's standards and obeying God's laws, society says, let's see what we can do to alter the consequences of our actions. Let's find cures for STDs since they're inevitable. Unwanted pregnancy? Just do away with the consequences. Don't let anyone get in the way of you having a good time. That's really the mentality we've taken today in society. You're not responsible for your actions. It's somebody else's fault. No, you're responsible. Some of the stats I was reading is staggering on activity. And what I found is, ladies, you having sex outside of marriage affects way more than it does the men, emotionally speaking. Because when ladies, when they give up what they have, that is usually a tremendous gift that they're giving away. And when they give it away, and then all of a sudden they find that they were robbed because nothing came back in return, it really starts affecting them emotionally, because for a lady that's a personal thing. Now for men, sometimes they're just like a dog, and they don't care. Stats show that it affects women. Teenagers, I was just looking up teenagers specifically. Teenage girls, it affects at 24%. To the 9% that it affects boys emotionally. Because see, boys just look at it as an act, and there's no attachment. They get what they want, and they're done, and they're gone. But for girls, it was a huge cost. And so guys, if you love your lady, then love her enough to do nothing until you're married or she's married. Because by the way, teens have somewhere around 10 loves up until marriage. Usually, you know, there's, oh, I love this one today, and then next week, oh, I love this one. And then, so teens bounce back and forth. You say you're in love, but, you know, I mean, who am I to say your heart? But what I'm saying is, hold on, because next month it might change. That's all I'm saying. Just kind of hang in there. So we're going to look at three things, and we're going to look at them quickly. One, sexuality. That's your first fill in the blank, is sexuality. Listen, sex is not a dirty word, but we've made it into a dirty word. And God originated this as a benefit to everybody within his guidelines, and that's marriage. I know some of you are struggling today with what I'm talking about. Listen, I think it's just about time that the church starts talking about it. I think it's just about time that the church quits hiding what's really happening in the world. And let's give people answers. Real marriage. The reason I called it real marriage is because this is what real marriage looks like. You know, I think about all the things that I've done in life, and I'm just going to tell you, ashamedly, I've done way more than I ever should have, and I've experienced way more than I ever should have. and I sat back and I was asked a question one time: is there anything that you've done in life that you regret? I mean, we've all done things that we regret. But as I really thought about it, and I thought, okay, what would I categorize in the things that I've done? Because I mean, I've hurt a lot of people, and I've just done a lot of things that way out of bounds, and I praise God for forgiveness. And I could never correct everything that I've done wrong. But as I thought about the question of what's the biggest thing I regret, the biggest thing I regret is not being a virgin when I met my wife and when I married my wife. I regret that. If I could ever go back in time and change anything, I wouldn't, and God said, you can change one thing. If I had that opportunity, that's the one thing that I would change. When you have multiple partners, you have way too much up here, and you destroy your marriage. You start comparing. You go, I don't do that. Listen. If you don't stay close to your spouse, you'll start comparing because you'll be disgruntled. You'll have issues. If you have affairs, then all of a sudden, you just keep adding more poison to your system. And that poison is steadily chipping away at the marriage God wants you to have. And some of you go, well, it's not bothered me yet. You know why? Because your morals are lined up with the world and not with God. That's why it's not bothering you yet. But the minute you line up with God, it'll become a taxing burden on your system. People think, oh, I don't have a problem with it. And you're a Christian? Yep, no, you're not. You can't be. You can't enjoy sinning in the face of God, spitting in the face of God with your sin, and call yourself a Christian. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. Marriage is honorable among all. When we talk about sex and marriage, God said, I wholeheartedly support it. And that's the way I designed it, and that's what I want you to have. And by the way, I want you to have it, and I want you to enjoy it, and I want you to enjoy it to its fullest, but that will only happen in marriage. Any other way, you are going to bring harm on you somehow, physically, emotionally, financially. You're gonna hurt yourself. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. When a man marries a woman, and when a man and a woman enter into a marriage, it's a contract. And listen, if you have sex outside of marriage, you're going to hurt that contract. You already broke the seal. The Bible even says that when you have sex with anybody other than your spouse, that you sin against your own body. All other sin is outward, but sexual sin is inward. It's against your own body. And God says, listen, don't do this. Don't give away that seal that you have for your marriage. Don't give it away. For those of you who are in here and you've never had sex, you've never been with a partner, listen, until you're married, don't. Because when you hold yourself and keep yourself for the way God says, there is something incredibly special there. There's a bond between husband and wife that won't be broken when you do it God's way. There's a household that won't be broken when you do it God's way. It is a wonderful gift. But you know, sex is not a physical act alone. It's really not. It's spiritual and emotional dimensions come into this. Spiritually, God honors you. I remember when my wife and I split up, and we didn't divorce, we just separated, and then we got back together, and I had gotten saved, and when we got back together and we renewed our vows, and my chiropractor, who was, he and I were very good friends, he ended up leaving his wife, and which I didn't know. He had during the time that my wife and I separated, he and his wife separated. He ended up getting saved, coming back together, him and his wife, really much like we did. And one day we seen him at an event at the fair, and he at the state fair in Raleigh, and he come up to me and he goes, "Hey, I heard you guys were back together." And I go, "Yeah, man." And he goes, "And I heard you got saved." And I go, "Yeah." And I said, "I heard you got saved." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Man, how's that blessed sex?" I go, "It's way better than the other way, brother." And he goes, "Amen, amen." I mean, he was all, you would have thought he was on some sort of drug, but he was just loving Jesus, man. And he goes, "You know what? Man, when you do it God's way, oh my goodness, the blessings that flow when you do it God's way. When you do it your way, the emotional and the spiritual scars that you bring upon yourself, for some are almost unbearable." I was reading and they said that one of the biggest factors in teen suicide today is the fact that they had sex outside of marriage. They had sex in high school, and the emotional scars build up on them so heavily over a period of time. 14% of the teenagers committing suicide were committing suicide because of sex. Don't tell, and listen, Chicago, the university in Chicago was doing this test, and they even said that there was a huge difference between doing it the Christian's way and doing it the world's way. And when you got 14% of teenagers that are committing suicide because they've had sex, that tells me that God is right, and there are huge implications and huge scars when you do it any other way than what God says. Man, I'm telling you, and by the way, the spiritual side of it, you will not follow closer to God. As a matter of fact, you'll walk away from God. You'll have dissension between you and the brethren, if you will, those in the church. Because if you're living in sin, you can't be around righteousness. The heaviness gets too heavy. I'm telling you, there are spiritual and emotional scars that happen when you do it out of God, any other way than God's way. And by the way, that's what pornography does, doesn't it? It creates this view, and pornography right now is over the top, causing problems right now with marriages. And why? Because, man, men are, and the amazing thing is, when you look at statistics, there are just as many women now that watch pornography as there are men. And what happens is it creates this fantasy world. And then they try to live the fantasy world out in the marriage, and the partner goes, "What are you doing? Oh, this is crazy." Right? And all of a sudden, now there's a division in the marriage. I'm telling you guys, the world knows how to separate the family. The world knows how to tear it apart. And you think, "Oh, you know what? I can look at that and it doesn't bother me." That is a lie from the pits of hell. It bothers you, it bothers your spouse, it bothers your home, it bothers your children, it bothers your workplace. I'm telling you, you cannot look at that mess and it not affect everything in your life. Because you're not being godly, you're not living godly, you're not thinking godly. Therefore, you're not acting godly. It affects everything in your life. And you can go, "It doesn't bother me." I'm going to tell you, you are in denial. I found this, says, any blurring of the sexual distinction is wrong. Girls are wearing guys' clothes. Guys are decorating themselves up like women. I read the article that was talking about this. And here's the funny thing, because my wife and I will be driving around or we'll be in public and I'll look and I'll go, "Is that a he or a she?" And then what's the first thing you look for when you're looking for that? You're looking for Adam there. And you're going, "Nope, I don't see it. That must be a she, but boy, it looks like a he." Or, "Nope, I see it. And that's definitely a he, but it's a she." And now we have it's running around. I'm just going to tell you, the girls walk like Tarzan, the guys walking like Jane, and they both smell like cheetah. It's just not good, guys. It's just not good. A preacher stood before a couple at their wedding, and he couldn't tell the bride from the groom. And he said, "Will whatever you are, take whatever that is and become whatever you're going to be." Listen. God made us different for a reason, and any blurring of that difference is wrong. And so when we're talking about sexuality, God, you are what God made you, and so you need to be that and embrace the role that God created you to have. and don't have sex outside of marriage. The next one is immorality. Immorality. We looked at Hebrews 13:4, but the rest of the verse, here's the rest of the verse, Hebrews 13:4, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. You know, God says the marriage bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. We laugh at that. We think, oh, what's God going to do? God's never done anything. I'm telling you, God will judge. God is a God that will not be mocked. And it says that he will judge. Who's he going to judge? Fornicators. Who are fornicators? What's the definition of fornicator? Let me tell you the definition of fornicator. If you are having any form of sex, any form, and you are not married, you're a fornicator. And he'll judge you. And it doesn't matter if you're a teen and you go, well, I'm a teenager and teens get away with everything. No. Don't kid yourself. Listen, you may have parents that won't deal with you on earth, but you got a Father in heaven who will straight up deal with you. And he says, I will judge you. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Premarital sex. Abstain from sexual immorality. If you don't find it immoral, I highly recommend that you search your heart and see if you're a Christian, if you're saved, or if God is your, if Jesus is your Savior. Because if you can't see that that having sex is immoral, you're not right with God at all on any level. And you can say, well, listen, my life is grand over here, and I serve God over here, and it's beautiful over here, and I just have this teensy-weensy little sin over here, and I know it's called sex, but it's just, listen, but it's just right here, and that's all, I've taken care of everything else, and look, I even limited it. So? You're not right with God, and God will judge you because he says that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That is any kind of sex. Abstain from it. Five dangers of premarital sex. That's your next fill-in. Five dangers of premarital sex. Five dangers of premarital sex. Number one, counterfeit love. Counterfeit love. Relationships based on sex do not last. If it's simply, listen, a physical thing, but you have no conversation, you can't talk, there's no whatever, it's all physical, I'm telling you, that's a counterfeit love, and it's not going to last. And people say, oh, I love this person, but well, what do you have in common? Well, we have the activity in common. You're not in love, you're in lust. There's a huge difference. Counterfeit love, five dangers of premarital sex. Number one is counterfeit love. If you start the physical after the marriage, because by that point you've become friends. By that point you could actually have conversation with one another. By that point you know each other and you know how to talk and you know how to communicate and you know how to enjoy each other's company without this activity in it. Listen, you're going to go a long ways. Because 10-1, if you got married because of all the communication you have over here, then you get married and you have this over here, woohoo, that is literally icing on the cake. And you can have all the icing you want. God blesses it and says there's no calories. Nothing there. Oh my goodness. Listen. You guys get what I'm saying. Listen though. Girls, ladies, listen, if you have a guy who goes, if you'll love me, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take an open hand, and about the time you get to here, close it. And hit so hard that they hear church bells. Because all they're doing is playing you. They don't love you. They just want what they want. So they say, well, if you really love me, you'll prove it. See ya, you just killed the love. Right? I'm telling you. Or, I just can't wait. If he can't wait, he doesn't want you. If he's willing to move on, let him go. Let him go. Man, if he can't respect you and your desire to serve God, let him go, because he'll only bring you more pain down the road. And by the way, it goes the other way too. Girls are really becoming very free with themselves as well. Of course, I say becoming. Statistics don't change. It's always been. The second danger of premarital sex, number two, is emotional consequences. Studies show a direct correlation between premarital sex and personal emotion problems. Here's the biggest emotional problems that girls specifically seem to deal with: guilt, anxiety, and loss of self-respect. Why? Because listen, guys, you might, and I don't know why men are this way. I really don't. Sometimes we are just disconnected. And sometimes for men, it's just a thing. But for girls, it's special. So guys are idiots. But for girls, it's special. Girls, why do you want to give that away? And by the way, it goes both ways. You remember Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife come after him, and Joseph already made it clear, listen, I don't want nothing to do with you. And she came on to him. What did he do? He ran. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to run. Supposed to run. Who cares what you leave behind? Just don't leave behind the only gift that you could ever give your husband or your wife that nobody else can. You take that with you. By the way, guilt is the most destructive emotion of all. How many have ever carried around guilt and it was like a cancer to your soul? I'm telling you guys, that's what it does. And we put on a good game face like things don't bother us. But it'll eat us up. Don't put yourself in that position because, well, if you really love me, yeah, meet my dad. He'll help you what love is. I'll love him. I'll love him. When I get done with him, I promise you, he'll never forget me. And I don't care if he is 15 or 16, he'll be the poster child for the next one that comes to the door. This could be you. I had a friend who, his daughter, great Christian household, she's a fantastic, matter of fact, she's on staff with Charles Stanley. If any of you ever listen to him on the radio. But she had her first boyfriend when she was 18 years old. And she brought him home. And of course, it was a planned dinner thing, you know. She was going to bring him home and introduce him to her dad. Well, her dad is Tim, and I rode a bicycle with Tim for years, and he and I are really, really good friends. And so Tim was telling me, he said, so here's what I did. He goes, John, when I found out she was bringing her boyfriend over, and it was her first boyfriend at 18, praise Jesus, he went and he had two bullets that had his name carved on it, the kid's name, and he handed one to him, and he goes, and it had his name on it, he goes, this is for you, and he hands it to him, and the kid's going, and then he takes the second one and he goes, and this is yours too, but I'm going to hold on to it. Because if you ever touch my daughter, this one's going to come at you much faster than this one did. I was like, go Tim. Yes. He doesn't even know how to shoot a gun, but that kid didn't need to know that. Right? Go Tim. Listen, I'm telling you, guilt will eat you up, and it'll destroy you from the inside out. It'll rob you of sleep, peace, joy, self-worth, and it'll rob you of your fellowship with God. It's not worth that. It's not worth everything that will destroy you, because, listen, the one that you gave it to will probably just move on to the next victim. Male or female, doesn't matter. You're going to go through this if you step out of the bounds of what God says. Number three, physical consequences. Let me just say this. The physical consequences. Are you ready? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. God's already said, don't fornicate, don't step outside of the marriage, don't commit adultery, don't. The wages of sin is death. Now, we can say, okay, that's the ultimate right there, but what about the drunkard that gets drunk? He's looking at his liver shutting down. What about the smoker? He's looking at his lungs shutting down. What about the glutton? That's cardiovascular disease. I'm telling you, your sins bring on the result of your sins. And if you have sex outside of marriage, what about the STDs? What about that? And you go, well, they look totally healthy. They could be a carrier. And that's all. And then you end up with it. I remember watching a video where a lady who saved herself all the way through, she was going to save herself till marriage, and what she did, and her and her husband got married, and then and here he was an HIV carrier. So he looked totally healthy, there was nothing wrong with him, but he was a carrier. She saved herself, and he didn't. And they ended up, he ended up moving on because she got sick. And she ended up spending the last days of her life in the hospital because it took her life. I mean, what happens when you don't do it God's way? It's crazy, guys. You've got to do it God's way. There is a price to pay, and the wages of sin is still death, no matter how you look at it. Number four, marital consequences. If you do happen to marry the one that you've been having sex with through the relationship, what you've done is you've chipped away at the foundation, because they already realize that your morals aren't completely intact. Right? You've already put them out there. You've already put them in question because your acts did not meet what God said. And so, you know what? What's happened is they know that you're capable of more immorality. It just chips away at your marriage, and so you don't need that. And then the fifth one is spiritual consequences. Spiritual consequences. And you might go, well, Pastor, doesn't God forgive? And I'm going to tell you, yes, God forgives. Absolutely, God forgives. But you know what? Forgiveness still has consequences. Let's just for a real quick minute, because what happens is we think that the closer we get to forgiveness, the further we move away from consequences. And that's really not true. So let's look at David and Bathsheba. Just quickly, if you'll pull the scriptures up for me of 2 Samuel 12, 7 through 5. You know, David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then killed her husband. And so here's what we have. It says, then Nathan said to David, Nathan was a prophet, and he goes to David, and he's going to tell David what God said to tell him. And then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed, this is what the Lord said to David, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. And so then the next, why have you despised the Lord? Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? To do evil in his sight. You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall... Now look at this. Because of your sin, the sword shall never depart from your house. Because you have despised me, that means went against what I said to do, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. And David, that's it. Okay, So we'll end it right there. Get rid of that passage. So he says, because you have despised me, in other words, you ignored me, and you committed adultery, you murdered, the sword will never leave your house. And so here's what happens when we look at this and we say, okay, what kind of consequences? Well, number one, his son that was born, God took his life. And you go, well, man, why would God do that? It's the cost of sin. It is the cost of sin. And then he says, you know what? Since the sword will never leave your house, guess what happens? Ammon rapes his sister Tamar. Now, I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. He calls up and he sets it up. So go pull up 2 Samuel 13, 7 through 20, please. And so what we're going to see here is it says, after this is going on, and David sent home to Tamar saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down because he was acting like he was sick. And he told his dad, hey, can you send Tamar over here and bring some soup and bread because I'm sick and can't leave the house. So his sister is coming over. Meanwhile, in Amnon's heart, he's already predetermined what he's going to do to his sister. Because he was in love with her beauty. And he says, then she took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. And they all went out from him. And I, where could I take my shame as for you? Okay, so here's what's happening. Apparently I'm missing a verse somewhere, but here's what happens. So he takes her in. It says, and I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. In other words, he's saying, do this right. Let's get married if that's what you want, but do it the right way. However, he would not heed her voice, being Amnon, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise and be gone. So here's what happens. What we have here is we have Amnon who allowed the lust to take over, and because of the sin of David, you have it flowing over into the household. This is what we have is the sin of sexual sin that caused all of this. And sexual sin that caused the murder, it caused this, it caused, by the way, Absalom, the older brother, killed Amnon because of this, and he killed him because of this. I'm going to tell you, because of one man's sexual sin, it polluted the whole family. I want to tell you, if you are being sexually active, other than in marriage and God's way, you are polluting everybody that you come in contact with. It's just what's happening. So then the next one. So she said to him, and listen, I want you to see how this affected the woman. First we see for Amnon, he was blown away. Now what was love, now he hates her. And he throws her out. Well, then she said to him, no, indeed, in other words, don't throw me out. Now you're going to make this even worse. This evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me. But he would not listen to her. Then he called his servant who attended him and said, here, put this woman out away from me and bolt the door behind her. Now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. And then here's what happened to Tamar. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore a robe of many colors that was on her, and because why? She couldn't wear it anymore. tore and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon your brother been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Here's what happened. Now Tamar is scarred. She lived out her days alone, all because of inappropriate sexual activity. And you say it wasn't her fault. I get it. It doesn't change the result of sin. It doesn't change the result of what God says about sex. And I'm going to tell you that it will absolutely destroy you emotionally and physically. There's consequences. The third thing we're going to talk about quickly is purity. Purity. How to stay pure. How to stay pure. How can I give you all this information, but then I don't give you the answers, right? How to stay pure. Number one, protect your mind. Protect your mind. 2 Peter 2:14 says that it's eyes full of adultery. And that's what caused the problem. So you got to protect your mind. And how do you protect your mind? You got to have the eye gate and the ear gate. You got to protect them. Because what your mind sees, what your eyes see, you want to respond to. Man, how many times have you been doing great? You might have personal sins, whatever it is, whatever your demon is that you fight all the time, I don't know. But all of a sudden, you're fighting it and you're doing great, and then out of nowhere, something pops up and reminds you of it. Right? You ever been there? And then you're fighting that demon again. And you're going, man, where did that come from? I'm telling you, those are the fiery darts of Satan. And what you got to do is you got to protect your eyes and you got to protect your ears. You cannot expose yourself to things that you know are going to feed you bad stuff and take you down spiritually. You can't feed yourself that. And so how do we stay pure? We protect our mind. Once upon a time, a boy was born to Christian parents. He was active in church in the youth group. One day, his grandpa introduced him to softcore porn. After a few years, it was no longer enough, so he moved on to hardcore porn. And after a while, it was no longer stimulating, so he began to see prostitutes. Then he began raping prostitutes. Then he started killing them. His name was Ted Bundy. See, this is real stuff, guys. I'm being as real as I can, trying to be careful up here. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But what I want you to see is this is real stuff. It doesn't just happen in 1 and 2 Samuel. It happens in real life. You cannot do it apart from what God says without paying a huge price. You just can't. And so, how to stay pure? You protect your mind. You know what? Men, you need to protect your eyes. The Bible says that I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Job even said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon my maid? You make the covenant with God that I'm going to protect these things. And I'm going to protect these. And I'm not going to listen to things I'm not supposed to listen to. I'm not going to listen to this music that has bad... Listen, this rap music, and it's not just rap, but rap just annoys me to no end. But the language in some of these rap songs are atrocious. So let's listen to country. Are you kidding me? The only thing country is about is drinking beer, whining, crying, and being with women all day long. Really? Why do you want to go to country? Well, let's do rock and roll. Yeah, because they're doing acid and tripping everywhere. Let's do the hard rock. How about we just do Christian music and listen to what honors God? I'm going to tell you, protect your ears. And you go, oh, you're just old and out of date, Pastor. You might be right, but so is this then. Because this is 100% right, never been wrong. And if we just listened to it, man, our lives would be so much better. The second way to protect yourself or to keep yourself pure is don't accommodate sin. Don't accommodate sin. Listen, if you have an issue with some things on TV, then don't flip around the channels just blindly because you don't know what's going to come up. I was looking for a football game, and I remember, because we have cable, but then recently they've changed the cable channels. Anybody realize this? And so you're going, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't my channel. And I flipped over to one of the channels that I thought was going to be a sports channel, but it's no longer a sports channel. But oh my goodness, it should have been a pay-per-view or whatever because the language was atrocious. I mean, it should have been an HBO or something. And I flipped over and I go, But, you know, it takes you a second to dawn on you what's going on, right? Or am I the only one that's slow? And then by the time you realize what's going on, then you got that shock and awe factor of a few seconds. And I'm going, this is really on TV, and this I don't have any paid channels. I got basic cable. Right? And then, or you go on YouTube and you click on something and the language starts coming off. They're like, oh, stop. My daughter seen my face one time. I don't even remember what it was I was looking at, but I remember I hit on it to play. We were all sitting there because we were trying to find something to get answers, and they start. Boy, I was like, you know, trying to get rid of it, and they're all laughing at me. But I'm going, I don't want that stuff. I don't want it, because there was a pastor who took. He had jury duty. Well. He couldn't get out of it, so he went on the stand, and part of the jury duty was they had to go through these photos. Well, they were pornography. And then he wrote afterwards, first he apologized to his wife, and then he wrote a letter to his fellow pastors and said, I need you guys to pray for me. I was on jury duty doing the right thing. And they passed around these photos, and I had to look at them. It was evidence. And now I can't get those out of my mind. And he goes, every time I turn around, all I see is this woman naked before me. I can't get these photos out of my mind. I'm telling you, you do not accommodate sin. You protect yourself. Make no provision for the flesh. And then the third way, and this will end right here. The third way to keep yourself pure, decide in advance. Decide in advance. Not going to do it. Not going to watch it. Not going to listen to it. Not going to partake in it. I'm going to flee from the lust of the flesh. I'm going to flee from the sin. I have already decided and made up my mind that I am not giving in to the sin. Decide in advance. Don't wait until you're in the middle of a compromise. Because if you decide in advance, guess what you'll do? You'll flee before the compromise even gets close. Decide in advance. I know some of us think that we're above falling. Hold on. Because you're probably going to be the next one to go down. Pride comes before a fall. Nobody's above falling. Satan knows your weaknesses, and that's exactly where he attacks. He doesn't attack your strengths. He goes after your weaknesses. He wants to trip you up. And I love how women usually will say, well, he'll change after we're married. Ladies, look at me. I'm a man. No, he won't. And you go, well, I got this magic spell. No, you don't. You have everything else he's looking for. Magic's not it. Don't be fooled. Guys, listen. If you can't deal with her before marriage, you're probably not going to be able to deal with her after marriage. Don't put yourselves in a position, man. Decide in advance. Be predetermined to stay pure. And then do exactly that. And be Joseph if you have to be Joseph. And some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, it's too late for me. I've already given it away. I've already went where I shouldn't have went. It's too late. You know, I think about the lady at the well, or the lady that they brought before Jesus. She was an adulterer. They caught her and him in an adulterous affair. And they brought him before, they brought this lady, and Jesus said, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And of course, nobody threw the first stone because everybody had sin. And Jesus looked at her and he said, you know what? They've not convicted you. They've not condemned you. And I'm not going to condemn you. God does have forgiveness. But here's an interesting thing that he said. He told her, I'm not going to condemn you. But then he said, go and sin no more. If you're active and you're not married, go and sin no more. If you're active and you're married, woohoo! One of the perks. Right? Friend with benefits. That's one of the benefits we were talking about. But if you think that, well, it's too late, I've already messed up. Forgiveness is never too late. And here's what you can't do. You can't go back and change your past. But you can sure enough protect your future. You can leave your future spotless with Jesus. You just have to decide. Guys, I just wanted to set up what the Bible really says about sex. We'll finish it out the first week of November and wrap it up with marriage and what that looks like. Because, man, if you've never read Song of Solomon, whoo, you need to go read that. That's an exciting book. We're going to look at that. Because that's really the real marriage. That's the picture that we really want to be living and we want to see. So if you've messed up, forgiveness is out there. But forgiveness that says go and sin no more. It's not forgiveness and then you turn around and keep repeating it. Because then God goes, whoa, you didn't hear me? So it's there. For those of you who have chosen to stay pure, God bless you. And stay that way. Go to your parents. Go to whoever. Parents, don't be afraid to have this discussion with your teenagers. Help them. Don't make this a dirty thing. Because it's really not. It's really not. Man, God made this beautiful in its context. Parents, help these teenagers keep it in context. Let's start here. Let's protect one another. But let's do it God's way. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to just open up your word and see what you say about sex, Lord, to where it fits in our lives and how it fits. And Lord, there's so many other passages and so many other scriptures. And Lord, there's so many places that we can go with your word. But Lord, I just pray that right now that everything that was said here, Lord, that it would grab us and convict us, Lord. And Lord, if we're living in sin, that we would stop. And Lord, we just seek your face for forgiveness. And Lord, for those who have decided to stay pure, Lord, please, please, Lord, put a hedge of protection around them. Lord, keep them safe. Lord, keep them strong in their convictions. Lord, keep them solid in their decisions, Lord. Do not allow Satan in to sway them, Lord. Do not allow him to throw fiery darts. Lord, just put that shield of protection around them, Lord, that they could live and do what's right, Lord, and keep themselves for the right person, Lord, that honors you. And Lord, ultimately, it'll bring honor and glory in their marriage as well. And so, Lord, I pray a hand of protection on those. Lord, for those who are here, Lord, that are in marriage, and Lord, they've stepped outside of the bounds of marriage, Lord. Lord, I pray that first off, they would find forgiveness. And Lord, that they would receive that forgiveness. And Lord, for those who have messed up, Lord, and whether single or married, Lord, that they would not allow the guilt to take over. But Lord, that they would receive your forgiveness, and then Lord, they would live holy and righteous from this day forward. Lord, if they are in any activity that's inappropriate, Lord, give them the strength today, right now, Lord, before they leave, that they Settle it in their mind, Lord, that they are going to be pure. They're going to be holy. They're going to be righteous. Lord, they're no longer going to partake in the sin that is so easily besetting them. Lord, they're no longer going to partake in the sin that is destroying them physically. Lord, that's destroying them spiritually or emotionally. That may be destroying their family, Lord, their relationships. Lord, that they'll just stop that sin that's going on, Lord, and just give them the strength to do that right now. Lord, as a body of believers, Lord, may we lift one another up. May we pray for one another. Embrace one another, Lord. Help hold each other up. Lord, and if somebody confides in somebody else, Lord, that they would be silent and there would be no gossip in this church, Lord. But they will just seek to help those, their brother or their sister that's in need. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be the pillar. Help us, Lord, to make the difference and do it with love and with holiness. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.